Let's turn in our Bibles to a passage in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. I sometimes call Isaiah the fifth gospel. And as I've said before, almost on every page you see something in reference to the Lord Jesus and his coming, his first coming and his second coming. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll read verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And we're going to turn now into the New Testament, and we'll read a passage we've read many times, Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 22 and 23. This is on page 1793 in the Chapel Bible. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We've been looking with a microscope at each of these words that describe the fruit of the Spirit. And we have recognized that, first and foremost, this fruit is the characteristics of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That the Spirit of God in us will produce in our lives to show forth his glory to others. And it is God's intent that we become conformed to the image of his Son. We find that in Romans chapter 8. And the intent of that is as we grow in Christ, we become more and more like the Lord Jesus. We will never be perfect like he is. We can never be him, but we can grow to be like him in the sense of showing forth his attributes, these moral, beautiful attributes, the fruit of the Spirit. And we've looked at these words, there are nine of them, and we've looked at seven of them. We looked at faithfulness the last time we looked at this passage, and we're now going to look at the eighth one. And the number eight, of course, we know in Scripture is the number for new creation, right? The earth and all that we see in the heavens were created in 6 days, and the seventh day, God rested. But the first day of the week, the eighth day, is the new beginning. And we are actually part of that already as we're in Christ. We're a new creation, and we live by that rule, Galatians chapter 6, the new creation rule, meaning we're already in the good of the fact that Christ is going to come, and he's going to reign over this earth. And there's a future day even after that called the day of God, and that is the new creation. And we're going to appreciate and enjoy that, but we can actually have a taste of it in our present experience here as we live for Christ. Well, I looked at this word gentleness, and I'd like to look at this word gentleness with a microscope a little bit. Sometimes in Scripture, depending upon your translation, this word is actually translated kindness, or it's sometimes also translated meekness. So which is it? Because in English, those have a little different innuendos to them. Well, we're going to go with the word gentleness. And these words, some of them are very similar. I would suggest to you that the word kindness and the word gentleness are twin sisters. They go together. But kindness tends to focus on the actual words, the actual deed, whereas gentleness focuses on the manner in which it's done, the manner in which it's said, the gentleness. It says in Isaiah, this is really in reference to the Lord Jesus that we read, it's prophetic of him, he will feed his flock. You know, the Lord Jesus, humanly speaking, was he a shepherd? We're never told that. Spiritually, he was a shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And here we find in Isaiah, he's identified as the shepherd that feeds his flock. And he gathers us. He's the gathering center. He carries the young in his bosom, gentleness. And he leads those that are with young, gently. This is the characteristic of our Lord Jesus. He is the gentle shepherd, the one who is sensitive in how he moves us through life, how he moves us along. And he not only displays his kindness to us, but he does it in a special way, a gentle way. I had looked at this expression in Isaiah 42, which also we identified as his kindnesses. And in that passage, it talks a little about, it's also about his gentleness. Just want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 42, and another reference to the Lord Jesus in verse 1 through 3. This is page 1123 in the Chapel Bible. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, and I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." He's gentle, you see. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." We read this in the morning meeting, quoted in Matthew chapter 12. It's in reference to his gentle ways, his kind ways. So we know that the Lord was coming and he was going to display this gentleness to us. And certainly the manner in which he came, unthreatening, as a little baby. How gentle can you be? And this is how he came the first time. He will not come the second time that way. He's going to come the second time riding on a horse, a white horse. And he's going to have written on his thigh, on that garment, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And everyone who sees him will fear him because he's coming in judgment. He's coming as a judge. Here, the first time, he came as a lowly babe to be our Savior. And we need to accept him as our Savior to avoid him as our judge in that future day. I'd like to look also at one passage in the New Testament that confirms this about our Lord. And this had to do with the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. He uses a wonderful expression in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He talks about the gentleness of Christ. Page 1783 in the Chapel Bible, 2 Corinthians 10. Paul is talking about how he was with the Corinthian saints. This large, well-gifted, out-of-control assembly that was not very spiritual, although they thought they were. And he dealt with them very gently. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present I may not be bold with that confidence which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." He was delighted to see that the Corinthians as an assembly finally dealt with a matter of discipline, and he could write this way to them. But he spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. So this is really an attribute of our Lord. I'd like to look at just a few examples in the life of our Lord where he displayed that gentleness. They're not necessarily perfect examples, but they're examples, and it's not a complete summary. We know we can hardly touch on the subject, right? But it gives us a sense of what it means to be gentle. In Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark for these examples. The lowly servant, Mark chapter 1. Page 1546 in the Chapel Bible. Mark chapter 1, we'll read a very brief account, verse 40 and 41. "Now a leper came to the Lord Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." Notice not just the kindness of the Lord in healing the man, but notice the way he did it, the gentleness. I suspect that this man had not experienced a human touch ever since he was diagnosed with leprosy. In fact, he had to do the opposite. According to the law of Moses, if anyone came near, he would have to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And he would be avoided by those around. Because if you came too close, it was believed, you could become contaminated. And leprosy to this day has no cure. It has no cure. We know it speaks of the sinful condition of mankind. There is no cure for it. But Christ comes, and this man humbles himself. He gets on his knees, pleads with him, and the Lord, in his compassion, heals him, but not just heals him. He doesn't say, "Be thou clean." He doesn't look at him and say, "Your faith has made you well." He actually goes up and he touches him. Now, the Lord is pure. He is holy. He is sinless. Wouldn't he be defiled by touching this man? No. He is the exception. He cannot be defiled by it. The opposite happens. His purity, his holiness, by touching this man, he is healed. And I just think of that human touch that he felt for the first time in perhaps years. How tender that must have meant. How this man would never forget that moment. We often sing, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me." And that's what happened to this man. The Lord stretched out his hand and touched him. That's gentleness, you know. He could have done it a different way, but he did it that way. Another example in the same gospel, in chapter 7, there are so many examples, but I'm just going to look at a few. In chapter 7, verse 31, this is on page 1557, Mark 7, verse 31, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, those were Gentile regions, those were port cities where much trade took place, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Instant healing. But notice how he did it. The gentleness of the Lord. He took his fingers and put them inside his ears. This man couldn't hear a thing, but the Lord's tender fingers touched his ears. And he spat, perhaps into his hand, and put that saliva into the mouth of the man. What a strange way of healing. What kind of medication is this? What kind of doctor is this? This is the Lord Jesus showing his gentleness. He's touching the man, and he's touching him where he is handicapped, where he cannot, you know, these things aren't functioning. And God, through his Son, graciously and gently heals this man. He just gently puts his fingers in his ear, right? And spits and puts that into his tongue. And he says these words, they're kept for us in Aramaic, you know. The Gospel of Mark is unique in that way. There are four things the Lord was speaking Aramaic most of the time. He spoke Hebrew and Greek, but he was speaking Aramaic here, the common language of the people. And you know, this man had no ears to hear these words, did he? But I believe those were the first words he heard. Ephphatha, be opened, be opened. And he hears those words. Do you think he ever forgot that word, be opened, when it was closed his whole life? What gentleness. The Lord, his kindness is shown in a particular way. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. This is page 1563. Verse 13. Actually, it's the page before. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. He took them up, just like we said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He took them up in his arms. I can just imagine the disciples thinking, "Do we have time for this? You know, we got a lot of people to heal. You know, we got a lot of places to go, a lot of places to preach. Lord, you know, you're spending time with these little ones?" Yes. And he picks them up in his arms. They were probably very small, right? Small little children, maybe barely able to walk. and he picks them up and he blesses them. That must have been such a tender moment. But I just want to emphasize the gentleness, the gentleness. You know, you can sense it with a mother, with a child, with a nurse, with a patient, with a teacher, with a student. That's where you see this gentleness in particular. And here the Lord is with this little child, these children. He's showing his tender mercies to them, being gentle with them. We know in Matthew chapter 11, we're told that verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You ever wonder if something is of the Lord, something is from the Lord? Well, here's a test. Is it gentle? Is it gentle? Now, gentleness also can be, there are occasions when there has to be rebuke, but I'm just saying in general, the Lord is gentle and he's lowly in heart. Remember when he was resurrected, the tenderness and kindness and gentleness he showed towards Mary Magdalene when she came to the graveside? She was there, "Oh, they have taken my master, and I do not know where they have laid his body." And what does he do? He says, "Mary." He just says her name. Gently says her name. Oh, he's risen. And he takes Peter in front of the others, and he restores him publicly, and he simply asks, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me?" And he repeats the question in slightly a different way each time, but three times, and Peter's restored to the Lord publicly. Gently restores him. He could have said, "Now, Peter, did you learn your lesson? Everybody listen here. Did you learn your lesson?" He didn't do that. He restored him gently. And we know that Peter never failed in that way again. Never again did he deny his Lord. Now, this attribute of our Savior, of gentleness, is to be an attribute of each of us. It is something that we need to show forth. I need to show forth to one another, to believers and unbelievers. I need to be a gentle man. You need to be a gentle person, a gentle woman, a gentle man, that we are a gentle people. And in Galatians, we have an example of this where there is a need for restoration of somebody who has fallen away, has stumbled in sin. And it says in Galatians 6, verse 1, page 1793 in the Chapel Bible, "Brethren, if a man is overcome in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." The spirit in which one helps another is this attribute. It is the attribute of gentleness. So we need to think about that. We have a role to play to help each other. I have a role maybe for you, and maybe there will become a time when you have a role to help me. And how is it that you're going to do that role? In the spirit of gentleness. And you know, there's an attractiveness to that. When a brother or sister sincerely wants to help another, and they come in the spirit of gentleness, you don't say, "Well, leave me alone." Say, "You know, I probably need to get this straightened out. Can you help me?" And that's really the thought here. There are those that can come along and help, but they need to do it not only in the spirit of gentleness, but realizing that in themselves they're no better, and they could also fall into the same temptation, because we all have the flesh in us. We could all stumble in exactly the same way. Let us not think we're above any particular sin. We're not. Gentleness. When Paul rebuked Peter in Galatians chapter 2, we have the actual rebuke recorded for us. Remember, Peter was making a mistake in that he was only eating with Christians of a Jewish background. And he was following a teaching by the Judaizing Christians that, well, we have to remain separate still from these Gentile believers because we have a different diet. We don't want to be defiled. So just eat with the fellow Jews that have become Christians. Very, very subtle danger there. Because they're one in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile anymore. There's no bond or free. There's no male or female. It's all set aside in Christ. So what does Paul do? He confronts him. He confronts Peter. And in chapter 2, verse 14, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. He said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, it could be that the rebuke continues on to the next section. My suggestion would be that it probably ended right there. Paul's words were few. And look at them. They're reasoning with Peter. They're gentle. He's not saying, Peter, you made another mistake. He didn't do that. You know, Peter, we all know you, you know. And we know what your faults are, Peter. And do we need to repeat all those faults? No, he didn't talk that way to him. Paul, a leading apostle, speaking to Peter, a leading apostle, publicly in front of everyone, he is an example to us of what is requested in Galatians 6, verse 1. He is showing us what that means in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness. Romans 14, which we won't turn to, is a very important passage that deals with being gentle with a weaker believer. And by the way, the weaker believer is the one that has all the rules. And they think they're spiritual because they have, you know, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. I keep those dietary rules, and we want to not cause them to stumble. And how do we deal with one another? Well, it's there. We can look at it on our own. That's our homework. It's in a gentle manner. Paul goes as far as to say, look, if what I'm going to do causes my fellow believer to stumble in the faith, because their conscience won't let them do something, then I would rather never eat this in front of them, because if I do that, they will stumble at my freedom to do this. And it doesn't matter. The kingdom of God isn't made up of food and drink. That's really nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is love, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. This is what it's about. But nevertheless, to help one another, we deal gently with each other. Paul talked about that in many passages. And he talked about the gentleness he showed when he brought the gospel to the Thessalonians. I was like a nursing mother with you. I was gentle with you. I didn't come to you and say, hey, now, you know, you got to feed me, give me a place to stay. No, I worked there while I was doing tent making. I came as a gentle person. And he would not let the gospel be slandered because they could say, well, you just came here to take from us. They couldn't say that. And he dealt with people in a gentle way. He exhorts Titus in Titus 3, verse 2, speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So it's an exhortation for us. We should be gentle. And it isn't just in doing kind things, but it's the way they're done. You know, the way they're done sometimes is even more important than the actual thing done. The words that are said, you know, sometimes you can say the most kind words and people say, but you weren't sincere. Why do they say that? Because the way you said it, the way I said it didn't sound sincere. It didn't sound like I really meant it. So kindness, yes, but the gentleness added to it makes it acceptable, makes it pleasant to the hearer, makes it effective. It impacts others. And it certainly impacts you personally by being that way. So may the Lord help us. In summary, gentleness strives to bless others, not condemn or hurt them, by displaying kindness through the way we act and speak. So may the Lord help us to do that, to be gentle like our Savior, the gentleness of Christ seen in each of us. This does not mean weakness. Being gentle does not mean weakness. Actually, it's spiritually strong to be gentle. So let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us in that. Our loving God and Father, we do thank thee for this beautiful word, gentle. We thank thee that it is foretold that thy Son would be like a shepherd and would guide his people, as well as those that were nursing young, that he would lead them gently. And we can sense his working in our lives that way as well. And may we display that towards one another, towards the unbeliever, being gentle towards them, knowing that they're spiritually blind and need to have that regeneration in their hearts, activated by thy Spirit. And so may we be gentle with one another and even those outside of the household of faith at the moment. So we ask thy help as we commit ourselves to thee now. As we leave, we pray for safe journey wherever we are going. We commit ourselves to thee for the week ahead as well, praying all in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.